And the book you chose for us this time around is Saskia Sargentson's book, How It Ends.
Yes. Now, I'd read a few books by Saskia before. I think this is
The Twins.
Yes. And that's set in Suffolk, isn't it? And there's another one of hers that's set in Suffolk, which I chose to read as well because of the Suffolk setting. And this one is set in Suffolk. So it's her sixth book, I think. And yes, I was really excited when I realised that she'd set another. It's a sort of thriller. It certainly keeps you turning the pages to find out what's happening. Anyway.
Yet again, I haven't finished it. I'm a third of the way through and I can't wait to finish it as well. It's really hooked me in.
It is.
So no spoilers this afternoon.
No, it's difficult because actually I want to talk about the ending because it's so intriguing. The whole book is really fascinating and you don't want to rush it because it's so beautifully written with the atmosphere and the characters. But you do want to keep turning the pages to find out what it all is all about. And then you do want to pin somebody to their seat and find out what they think about it.
Perhaps we need... Well, the trouble is that anyone listening to this might not have read it anyway.
That's right.
Pine Forest, it's a... an air base, isn't it, when they for the Cold War as well?
That's right. So it's set in the 1950s and it's about a young family who've moved from America to Suffolk because of the father's job, the husband's job. He's been enlisted to carry out some very important and confidential work at the base and he can't tell his family members anything about it even. And it's gradually taking its toll on him, this work, both emotionally, mentally, but also physically, we find. And each member of the family is struggling with this new location. The children are trying to explore and make friends, but the mother has got anxiety issues and the children don't really settle very easily.
And the lad has scoliosis, so he has to wear this big frame, which is enough to stop, you know, to make you being picked on as
yes,
well.
Yes, but he's also very intelligent, so he loses himself in his own little world, so he creates fantasies and writes stories for himself. And they do explore. They find their way out of the base through the wire fence, and they go into the surrounding forest and they discover all sorts of mysterious things. But the story is told really from the perspective of Hedy, who's the daughter, and she's slightly older than the brother.
5 minutes, I think.
Yes. And so she sort of feels protective towards him. But then, tragically, their family life, it all comes to a halt. And so Hedy then has to investigate things and she uses her brother's writing, his storytelling, to try and find out the answers.
Because he believes in UFOs. So see, I picture Rendlesham Forest, I picture the airbase there as yes. I take my dogs for a walk fairly nearby. And so I picture, should we, look, we're trying to describe someone else's book. We've yes. got Saskia sitting here listening as well. We might as well let her talk all about it. Afternoon, Saskia.
Hello, afternoon. Yeah, hi.
Have we said?
Thanks for having me on.
No worries. Thank you. So have we sort of painted the right picture?
Yes, you have. Thank you. I was loving listening to that. Thank you very much. It was a very good intro into the book.
And we were talking about the UFOs and the mysterious setting for the book because we know Suffolk, and so we've got all these preconceptions about what the book could be about. So you're very clever in how you hinted at those things. How did you come to set the book in Suffolk and create this mysterious family environment, I suppose, all that happened to them? How did you come about it?
Well, I actually lived in Rendlesham Forest when I was a child. And so the base was actually on my doorstep. And we were very familiar with the noise of the planes flying low and the glamorous airmen and their families who lived behind this tall fence. And it was all very intriguing. And then I just thought, when I was trying to think of a setting for my next book, it just felt like a very interesting setting to have this fenced-off mini-America inside a rural community. And then, of course, the isolation of what the American family would be feeling living inside this fenced-off area. I thought it would make an interesting subject for a book, particularly with the Cold War and all the paranoia about that and the atom bomb and spies and things heightening the atmosphere.
I love the descriptions of the Pine Forest, which obviously really, as you lived in it, I mean, it's obviously real memories for you, Saskia.
Yes, no, absolutely. And I go back and stay with my sister. And when I do, I always walk in that forest and I walk right around the airbase that's, you know, the kind of relics of it.
But we were talking about the myths and the stories that we know about Suffolk, but actually you've taken a different tack with this story. So how did you research the particular military angle to the book?
That came out gradually. I began to look into the 1950s and that kind of era, and I just came across this thing, which I won't
It's so difficult, isn't it?
It does kind of, it's difficult. But basically, at the time, the Americans thought that the Russians had already discovered a truth drug. And that made them very anxious to discover their own truth drug. And so I'll leave it there. But basically, that was where I was coming from with my own investigations into what was happening.
It must have been a really fascinating time to research. Because I love the way she's brought her fridge with her from America. Because American, they were so much further ahead than us at that time. We were still suffering from the poverty of war and so on, weren't we?
Yes, exactly. And I really felt that in a rural community like Suffolk, which would have been very cut off from everything else at that time, they would have been suffering and there would have been quite a lot of poverty and a lot of... and then they would have just been looking at all these Americans in their midst who would have had, you know, their great big cars, their flashy things, and they had a movie house and they had all these things that they didn't have and special foods flown in from America, etc.
And what about the tranquilizers? Is that true?
Yes, I think a lot of women at that time in America were living off this thing called Milltown, which was kind of Valium. Because American, you know, housewives, just as British housewives, would have suffered a lot from the 1950s, this idea that it had to be perfect and that a family had to be enough for them and they couldn't really have anything outside the family. They were there to support their husbands and really nothing more at that time.
So, I mean, so many threads, aren't there, with this? And twins, a reoccurring theme to you?
Yes, yes, that's right. Well, I have identical twin daughters who have grown up now and that's what inspired the twins. But with this book, I've taken a different kind of twins. I've taken non-identical twins who, and one of the twins obviously has been dealt a very different deck of cards from his sister in that he's inherited this awful illness, which means he has to be in a brace. And so that again throws up themes. But people tend to think that twins will be born with very similar abilities and a similar kind of chance at life, but these ones have very different abilities and a very different chance at life. And so that kind of throws up a much more intense idea of loyalty between siblings and jealousy and things like that.
It must have been fascinating watching your two girls grow up, though.
Yes, it was, yeah. And they have this kind of codependence, but at the same time, they're struggling for independence and to be seen as different entities. And yet they have this huge need for each other and this kind of symbiotic understanding of the world. And a kind of, they don't need to talk to each other quite often to understand what the other one is thinking. And that, so there's an intensity, which is even more than you get between normal siblings.
Yeah, very fascinating.
And the central character in this book, Hedy, how did you come about her? Because she's obviously the key to the story and a very powerful, strong character. We really want to find out more with her. So how did you come about with her?
I just wanted to write a strong female character. And I wanted her tomboyish and to not be afraid, to be brave, but yet in the end to be overwhelmed by this huge force, the force of government and military and secrets that she couldn't possibly penetrate. She was just a little girl. But I wanted her strength of character to be tested, but for her to come out strong in the end and for her to kind of triumph away over these terrible things that happened to her and her family.
But it is quite a tragic story as well. It's very, very moving, quite sad and quite troubling. How did you feel as you were writing it and also as you finished it?
I was going to say, I bet you cried. I've spoken to lots of authors who do cry with their characters.
Yeah, I always think it's a good sign when you cry yourself when you're writing.
Yeah.
But I guess I do tend to write quite tragic stories quite often. I don't know why I'm very drawn to that, but I think because inside darkness there's going to be light, hopefully, and the light itself will be perhaps more powerful because of the darkness. And also one hopes that inside there will be some kind of humour as well, which can come out like through the darkness as well, through people's necessity. You know, when people are forced into the darkest corners, that's when they find their strengths and their resilience and sometimes their humour.
It's interesting that, because I was talking an interview I'm going to be playing on Thursday, D-Day anniversary, and someone talking about the Suffolk Regiment and how the men went through tough times, but they always had humour as well. And it's fascinating how one, they're not separate, are they? Tragedy and humour almost play a part together.
Yeah, and you know, I think a real thing like the war, which will come and force you into terrible situations and conditions, and you're in fear for your life. I mean, then you're going to kind of know who you really are. It's just such a test of character to be in that situation.
Are you writing your next book?
I am. Yes, it's very different.
Does it feature Suffolk?
No, this one doesn't. It's a love story. It's very much one genre kind of themed book, which is something I've never done before, but I've really enjoyed writing it. So
does that mean your family like you better if you're not coming out of your room where you write angst ridden or whatever?
I think it's, yeah, I've really enjoyed writing this book. It's been I've enjoyed it. I think I might have been a nicer person possibly, yes.
Well, it's, thank you so much for having a chat with us and for telling us about the book, and I can't wait to get to the end though, as Catherine tells me I must take my time and read it properly. But thanks so much for joining us, and maybe if you come to Suffolk at some point we could get you in as a longer guest.
Oh, I'd love that. Yes, that would be great. Brilliant. thank you
yes. Take
Thank
care.
You very much. Yeah, I hope you enjoy the end of the book. Thank you.
Yeah, Saskia Sargent, and I will tweet when I've finished it and say what I thought, but it's really hooked me in. So How It Ends by Saskia Sargent.